George Sedano's going to join us about 10 minutes here. Drive Guys celebrating, of course, that huge Kings win on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 from the 209. It's funeral time, Whitey.
Just people maybe. Are actually saying that, huh?
Yeah, it's just people get too upset at the mere mention of, no, don't do, I don't want to upset anybody yet. How about this from Folsom Mike? Folsom Mike finding something to be a little bit perturbed about, even after that win. Another great win. I knew they would step up. But what's with some of these stats the NBA does? Like to give Sabonis a triple-double assist on that last pass when Fox had to pump fake to get open, dribble, sidestep, and shoot. Sorry, guys, that's not an assist.
Debbie Downer, man. Folsom Mike, he always trying to rain on somebody's parade, man. Like, enjoy life, Folsom Mike. It's okay to smile and laugh sometimes. My gosh.
He does go on to say, PS 6-0 with Keon starting.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And that's the question right now. And it's being thrown around after games. Mike Brown's been asked about it two nights in a row now. Keon Ellis, who was magnificent last night. And yes, as Folsom Mike says, 6-0 as a starter. Asking the question, should Keon Ellis be starting? What do you think, Drapes?
Should he be starting?
A regular starter.
No. And let me tell you why. If all this time we said Malik shouldn't be starting, I'm not going to be like, yes, Keon should be starting after six games. Like, the Kings' starting unit is not the problem. The Kings coming out of the gate in the first quarter is not the problem. The problem is sustaining it. And so I think the answer is finding minutes for Keon, making sure he's on the floor. But I don't think starting is the answer for Keon Ellis.
I agree with you. It's just tough for me, but I agree with you. And again, as I hesitate because I'm replaying in my mind what Coach Brown said last night. And all right, here is Coach Brown last night when asked whether Keon should be a permanent member of the starting lineup.
There's a lot that goes into it. It comes down to feel. Kevin gives us a lot too. And, does it make us better with Kevin or Keegan or HB coming off the bench just to start Keon? I don't know. I don't have that feel yet. You know, you can always bring Keon in the game early. Keon can still average 20, 25 minutes a game if need be. And so kind of like Malik, it can give us the luxury of, A, obviously finishing the way we want to finish, but playing different lineups based on the flow of the game, because we might go out there and the flow of the game might be in our favor with whoever's starting. Okay, let's ride with that. Okay, they want to make a run or they want to do this. You know, you got Malik, you got Keon, you got Davion coming off the bench. And it just adds to what is already a very, very good bench.
I think I speak Mike Brown. Okay. I've learned to speak Mike Brown. Read between the lines.
Let's
the night before, he was asked about it, and he just said no. You know, hey, would Keon be starting? You thought about that? And he said no. Last night, what he was saying was, there's no need to do that. And if you change your starting lineup, that's something everyone's talking about, right? It's like, whoa.
Right.
Whereas what he just said there was, I don't need to. I can still play Keon Ellis.
Right.
As much as I want to, I have more flexibility. You change your starting lineup, all of a sudden, you've created an issue.
Right.
You have no benefit, really. There's no benefit to creating that.
And you've created possibly an issue with the starting unit.
Exactly.
And the second unit as well. And so I think, now if the Kings were getting down by 10 right off the jump in the first quarter, then okay, I could see that shaking up the starting lineup. But the issue this season has not been their starts. It's really been the middle parts. You know what I mean? Like when you build the lead, maintaining those. And I think one thing that Mike Brown has been doing recently that I've noticed even more is situational coaching, situational substitution patterns, if you will. You build a lead, all right, I'm going to turn to Keon and Davion. You need offense, I'm going to go Malik and maybe Chris or something. Like, it's not just these are my seven guys and this is going to be it. I think what you're seeing from Mike Brown is situational coaching. And when it comes to Keon Ellis, he's the defensive version of Malik Monk. And here's
why. That's a great way to put it.
Like, Malik can come in and change the game with his offense. Keon could come in and change the game with his defense. That's what I see from Mike Brown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You know, fans don't like that, the way you described it. Fans don't like it, situational substituting. They want to know, no, this guy comes in then, and that guy comes in there. But actually, Mike Brown's doing a really good job with that, as long as the players respond.
Exactly, as long as the players respond. And I will say, I think Mike Brown did make one mistake, and not necessarily a mistake, but something I would have done differently. Remember, I forget which game it was. It might have been Minnesota. Keon got the start, I believe, that game. I think it was that game.
Fox was hurt
that game. Fox was hurt that game. Yeah, and he went with Keon, and Keon played so well. But then they come back home against, who was it, Chicago, I think, and Keon is a DNP CD. It was that Monday game. Keon had just played solid.
It might have been the Heat game.
One of those games.
Yeah.
And he didn't even play. And so I think those days of Keon being a DNP CD, I think it's over. Now, unless he struggles, then that may happen. But he has to be out on the floor I'd say at least 20 minutes a night for this game.
Whether he starts or not, to me, it's pretty clear that early in the year, Coach Salma is almost a novelty change of pace piece. Mm-hmm. We're going to throw this guy in there. They're not expecting him. He's kind of a wild card. Now he's played well enough in that role, consistently enough, where he's like, all right, I got to play him. I know he's going to help me.
Yeah, and one thing we don't know about all of this, Whitey, is what's happening behind the scenes. What if Keon, over the last month, has been kicking butt in practice and earned it then? You know, what if he was struggling in practice? I'm just throwing the hypotheticals because we don't know what Mike Brown is seeing day in and day out. And so I maintain that the way he's handled Keon has been spot on. You know, you don't want to throw him right into the fire, rush him in. And Keon has sort of earned his way into that rotation, not only with his play on the court, but I would also venture to say the play behind the scenes and the way he competes and practice as well.
I agree with you, but can't you understand how a fan would look at this and say, my goodness, he started the last two nights. And even Drape said, these are two of their greatest wins Mike Brown's had since he's been here. So why wouldn't you start him? I understand that reason.
Well, and I understand that as well. But, you know, it's not it's like all-star voting. Like I said before, if you want Keon to start, tell me who you should bench. And don't say Kevin Huerter, because Kevin Huerter has had great stretches also. Like, based on Keon Ellis's small sample size, Kevin Huerter has done it for a much longer sample size, more than four games, more than six games. And so that's why I think Mike Brown is not so quick to pull the trigger. Oh, a guy had a good week, so I'm going to change up the starting lineup. Kevin Huerter, in my opinion, has earned that over not just this season, but all of last season as well.
I don't think you could say it any better than the way you just said it. Seriously, that Keon is the defensive Malik Monk.
You like that, bro?
Oh, it's perfect. I mean, it's right. Just like, yep, it's just right. The truth. But the Kings have established the last couple of nights, well, established maybe too strong a word, but they're showing a defensive fortitude that was lacking, and I think Keon Ellis clearly is a big part of that. So he's going to have a role at some point going forward. It's just a matter of how much bigger it's going to get.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and here's the thing, too. It's too small of a sample size, I think, to make a drastic change.
There's just no need to.
Right. It's no need to just yet. And so, you know, if Kevin Huerter comes back, and let's say you put Keon in the starting lineup and Kevin Huerter coming off the bench. Like, to me, Kevin Herter's ceiling gets lowered so much. Like, his value to this team, I feel like he almost sort of gets lost. I think Kevin Huerter is the perfect starter with this group, this starting five, you know? Because we saw it. Let's not forget, Kevin Huerter started off that Milwaukee game on fire. He was one of the big reasons. Him, Keon, and HB. I said it yesterday in Drape's Takes. Kevin Huerter came out guns a-blazing yesterday and was knocking down threes early or 2 days ago. And so I'm not ready to bury a guy on the bench or sub him out because of two bad weeks or whatever it may be.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's see what Dwayne has to say with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
A little bit on the Keon little controversy going on the station. These are NBA men who are millionaires. They're not NBA 2K avatars or kids at Hardwood Palace. So just swapping them in and out doesn't cut it.
Right.
Mike's got to deal with a whole nother dynamic that none of us have to by just putting it in the YouTube chat or calling in or texting in.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dwayne. How about this, Drapes, from Amadrock, who I believe is from Vallejo, so he knows what he's talking about, on the text line. In my humble opinion, Coach Brown doesn't want other teams to get too good of a look at Keon in the starting rotation. He might be a starter during playoffs.
Oh, holding something back. Yeah. Okay, Amadrock, I see you. I'm not buying it, but I see you. You
he's
know,
playing chess. Everyone's right. Playing checkers.
Exactly. You know, that's the ace in the hole, right? You know, you got that behind your back, and then you pull him out, bam!
Uh-huh.
No film on him, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised ESPN is even on the air today. I thought they would just shut down and go dark because the Lakers lost. But George Sedano was the sideline reporter last night during the ESPN broadcast. He's going to join us when we come right back here. Drive, guys. Drapes, how did doing that game last night compared to other Laker-Kings games that you've done?
You know what? The last few have been fantastic. Kings win. And the energy in that building last night, I thought was off the charts. I thought it was a great environment last week, too. Remember, the Lakers got up big, and then the Kings used that 44-20 run in the second quarter and quieted Crypto.com. So that was fun to do as well. Different levels of fun.
I thought, obviously the Kings won that thing going away, but I thought the first quarter was crucial because – to my eye, the Lakers came out with a lot of force.
Yes.
They really did. And the Kings were, I think the Lakers had their biggest lead in the first quarter. They were up 5 and the Kings.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Kings were a little shaky here there, but they hung on. They ended up tied at the end of the first quarter. I thought that was crucial, the way the Kings met that initial burst from the Lakers.
Yeah, you're right. The Lakers came out with some pace, some burst, and like you said, as well as they played, you look up at the scoreboard and it's tied at 29.
Mm-hmm. Nice enough to join us now. He was sidelines last night for ESPN, ESPN NBA and radio host. The great George Sedano. George, thanks for your time. We, of course, are just talking all day here about that Kings win last night. Would you consider last night a statement win for the Kings?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think the fact that they had already beaten the Lakers 3 in a row, and to get that season sweep for the second time in franchise history and the first time in 8 years, I thought was big. And I love the way they did it. They were so physical. They did it with defense, really, in the third quarter. That's kind of what gave them that extra push to get past them and then eventually hold on to the lead. You know, something that they struggled with, as you guys know very well, particularly at home, they've been a pretty bad defensive team. I think 29th in the league and then 12th on the road. So I don't get it. And I'm sure Mike Brown also wonders why they have those discrepancies. But I love the way they did it, and I think it meant a lot, certainly, for them and the momentum that they can have moving forward.
Yeah, you're 100% right, George. Kyle Draper here, man. You know, just the physicality that the Kings played with, and especially at that center matchup between Domantas Sabonis and Anthony Davis. And we know AD has struggled with Domas over his career, winless against Domantas Sabonis. Why is that such a difficult matchup, you think?
You know, it's fascinating to me. There are a couple of guys that he struggles with, and Domas is clearly one of them. It's funny because of Domas' first eight shots, all eight were on against AD. He was 5 of 8 from the floor basically till the last 6 minutes of the game, and all eight attempts were on Anthony Davis. He was going right at him basically the entire game, and I think it's that. I think that a lot of guys, when they play against Anthony Davis, could be a little tentative because if Anthony Davis' athleticism and reach and things of that nature. And I think the guys with the most success are the guys that go straight at his body. And Domas is one of them. Joker is clearly one of them. And interestingly enough, Jusuf Nurkić is the other guy. And I think those guys, because they play particularly a more powerful game and can put it right in his chest, I think those are the guys that AD struggles with a little bit because he's got to play more of a strength game as opposed to a more athletic game at that point.
George Sedano with us from ESPN. George, as you probably know, in Sacramento, we get a little overprotective of our players if we feel like they're not getting the respect they deserve. So I wanted to ask you about Domas, not from an emotional standpoint, but from a clinical standpoint, because you have, you know, your national ESPN NBA perspective here. He leads the league in triple doubles. Why, in your opinion, does he continue to kind of fly under the national radar?
You know, that's a great question. I look at him as a guy who, to me, is a perennial all-star caliber player. I think that position, and if you look at it historically in the Western Conference, it's been a thing, even dating back to the days of KG and Dirk and all those guys, right? The power forward position has always been pretty stacked. Now, the NBA has obviously gone through an amorphosis of sorts. So now it's like the center position is the old power forward position, even though it's kind of more of a hybrid at times, depending on who the player is. So I think but it's still the same thing. Basically, that big man position has become a position where there's just a lot of talent, right? Like, look across the board. And there's new guys coming in, whether it's Chet Holmgren and Wemby and whatnot. I do think that there's always guys that are underappreciated. And I'll say this about the Champs, for example. Jamal Murray, to me, he's a guy that I believe is underappreciated in a big way. And I think that drives him and motivates him. And I think that whether it's Fox, who gets a little bit of that, he's slightly underappreciated, I think, as well, around league circles. And Domas, I think those guys can use that as motivation. Although with Domas, he's just such a nice guy, like off the court. I don't know if any of that stuff really bothers him. He's just a guy that has been dealing with living up to expectations for a really long time, whether it was his dad, even his brothers. Like, he's the youngest of his brothers. So I think he's just used to that, and I don't think it gets to him mentally. I think it's just part of who he is, and he just plays the game at such a high level and doesn't think about all that other stuff.
George Sedano joining us here on the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports, 1140. You know, you brought up the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets, and you know, about a month or two ago, the prevailing thought was, man, the West is so tough. You know, there's so many teams, but we're seeing a team like Minnesota deal with the cat injury. Clippers seem to be having some injury issues right now. Is it Denver's and then everybody else in the Western Conference, do you think? Is it the Nuggets and then everybody else?
Yes, that's the short answer. And I think if you look at what they've done, really going back to last year, but this year they're even better at it. If you get to the last 5 minutes of the game and you don't have a significant lead on them, you're done because they're going to out-execute you every single time. I saw it last night against Miami before we tipped off in Sacramento last night. Mm-hmm. Miami, I believe, had like a 1-point lead with about 6 minutes to go. I left to go to the court. I looked on my phone because I saw we were about to tip, and I said, I wonder what happened. I looked at the play-by-play, and I looked at the final score, and it was a 10-point game, and that's what they do. Mm. They did it the other night. Toronto had a 21-point lead. Now, granted, that was in the third quarter, And then they just blew past them from that point on and ended up winning comfortably in that game. I saw them do it to the Lakers multiple times already this season. It's what they do. And that's what championship-level teams do. And you look at their starting five, that's the best starting five in the league right now. When you look at Joker, you look at Murray and that two-man game that they can run, and obviously KCP, Porter Jr., and Aaron. And what they do, I just don't know if anyone can match them. As good as Boston is, I just don't think they're as good as those five guys.
George Sedano with us. And George, you made this point earlier. The last couple of nights, the Kings have had more of a defensive presence than we've seen for much of the year. That said, what would you describe as the identity of the Kings right now, and how would you expect that identity to play in the postseason?
Well, they're clearly an offensive team. I don't think there's any question about that. They're incredibly explosive, and I think that is their identity. But I think we saw last year in the playoffs that they're capable of playing really good defense. And I think this year, because of the physicality that Kyle just alluded to a moment ago, And I mentioned as well when I came on, I think that's in their arsenal. And I don't know if you can bring that out regularly in the regular season. And I know coaches, that drives them nuts, that you don't see that with some regularity. But there is and I hate to call it a switch, but there is a different level of play in the postseason than there is in the regular season. And a lot of it goes into game planning and physicality, and the game slows down just a tad, and there's more half-court execution that needs to be done. And I think they're better suited, having gone through the experience that they went through last year. They certainly surprised me last year at times defensively in that series against Golden State, and now I've seen it in bursts for this team this year in the regular season. So I expect that to be a consistent thing for them in the postseason. So I think they're a dangerous team. Look, if they can get out of the play-in area, depending on the matchup, if you could just avoid Denver, and I would say this about almost any team in the West, if you can avoid Denver, I wouldn't be surprised if you found yourself in the conference finals.
Wow, you said conference. You didn't say win around. George, you didn't say win around. You said conference finals. Repeat that, please.
Yeah, no, and by the way, again, I would say that about a number of teams in the West. But again, if you can avoid Denver to the end, I can make the case for you guys. I can make the case for OKC. I can make the case for Phoenix, the Lakers. I can make the case for a number of teams that they could get to the conference finals. I just don't know if anybody can beat Denver, but I can make that case, and I think that you guys are in that category.
If the Kings aren't going to make it to the Western Conference, if they aren't going to win a round, is it their defense that will ultimately come back to bite them, you think?
You'd think so, because, again, it's just the way we've seen it this season, it's kind of an on-and-off switch, right? We've seen it on the road. We've seen it less at home by a wider margin, although yesterday, obviously, was a good sign. So, yeah, but if they defend with the way they play offense, man, come on. Like, the sky's the limit for this team in regards to getting beyond the first round. Like, I legitimately think, like I said a moment ago, you find yourself with the right matchups. And that's not enough because, again, a lot of teams outside of Denver, I would say almost all of them outside of Denver, are somewhat matchup dependent. You can be there facing potentially the defending champs in the Western Conference Finals.
George, how crazy is this? And we know the standings are very volatile right now. But if right now they had the play-in games, you would have Luka against KD and you would have Steph against LeBron in the play-in games. That's insane.
It is insane. I don't know how much. If you gave the NBA truth serum, they'd love that they'd have some of those huge stars at the bottom and they'd be knocked out pretty quickly, potentially, or at least two of them would be knocked out. But it certainly brings hell, you know, incredible drama, right? A lot of drama for that first round of the play-in because, and honestly, it's funny, I don't like to switch sports and cross sports comparisons, but it's kind of like what baseball did for a number of years where they had that one in playoff.
Yeah.
I actually think they made a mistake by going best two out of three in this wild card round that they did last year. I think there's a lot of fun watching a one game scenario. Mm-hmm. It's what makes this time of year so much fun for basketball fans because we get to see the NCAA tournament.
George Sedano, thanks very much for your time. Great job last night. We appreciate it. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Anytime. Appreciate it.
All right, yeah, George. Thanks for the kind words about the Kings, huh?
He said Western Conference Finals. He didn't say win a round, win a game, win a series. He said they could go to the finals as long as they avoid Denver. I love it. Okay, you're laughing. Hey, let's clip that and keep running that, right?
He said, hold on. I said that about a lot of teams. But the Kings were one of them.
Yes.
When we come back, tell you how the Kings are catching the defensive bug from Keon Ellis with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Since the All-Star break was finished, that first game, you know, we know that every game is like a playoff game. There's three, four teams that are fighting for that fifth, sixth spot, you know, and any kind of game that we just lay an egg or something is going to cost us a lot at the end.
Boy, whenever Domas is talking in the locker room to somebody, he's like, was it a library? Do they have people studying in there? They're very respectful of everybody else in the locker room, aren't they? All the players.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And Domas, he was raised right anyway.
Like, yeah.
He's a respectful guy, you know?
Yeah, his poor kid didn't know what to make of the beam last
night. He wanted mama. Did you see? The little tiger wanted mama. And I guess it's Tiger's birthday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Birthday today, 2 years old. I think saw Domas's wife put out there. And happy birthday!
Yeah, absolutely. Poor Scott Moak's like, oh, okay, but we got to do this. Right? I think he's on some kind of schedule or something.
Yeah. Well, Domas had the interview with ESPN afterwards, and then he had to go see the wife and family and everything. And we're like, let's go. Like, everybody's standing around waiting for the beam, and so it was well worth it. Though.
Do you think that might end up on that Netflix series?
Oh,
you know that's gonna be on there, right?
It has to be, right?
Yeah,
it should. Nice family kind of.
Right.
Is that the one that we're not supposed to talk about, or?
I didn't know we weren't supposed to.
Oh,
talk
no,
about
you
it
weren't. Maybe I'm not supposed to.
Oh, okay.
Until yeah. Like, did they put out a release on that or no?
Yeah,
they did. Yeah. Okay, I might have missed it.
They said Domas is a part of it.
All right. All right. Okay, then I can talk about it.
Okay.
There was somebody jumped the gun or released it earlier, and they're like, just wait till it's officially. And I didn't know if it was officially official.
Yeah. It's official. And it's funny because there have been a few moments here or there where some of us in the media are looking and going, oh, I think Frankie was talking about that moment after the Warrior game in San Francisco when Domas was fielding questions from – like De'Aaron Fox's wife and the coach.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, that was funny. He's like, well, it's probably going to be on that.
Going to be on that. Yeah, exactly. And I need to pay better attention because apparently, because Rasay, De'Aaron's wife asked Domas, I don't know if it was a blow a kiss or something to your family, to your wife.
You know where your wife is.
Yeah, So I need to keep an eye on his eyes and where he's watching, during the game.
You know what's interesting about that is that's how we found out that one of his nicknames is Sabi.
Oh, yeah. She called him that. Oh, can we call him that? I'm not calling no grown man Sabi. I'm not doing
it.
You
could probably get away with it.
I might be able to. I called him D yesterday when I saw him. I said, but then I realized, it's only one D. De'Aaron is D. You call De'Aaron D. Domas.
Huh.
See, yeah, I called him D yesterday.
That still works.
I think so.
Yeah.
But on that team, you say D, everybody usually thinks you're talking De'Aaron. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, after the game, De'Aaron Fox was among those fielding questions. And here's something I've been thinking about, with defense. Because, in basketball, anybody who played basketball, that sometimes when a team's struggling, somebody makes a shot, then all of a sudden it seems quote unquote contagious, right?
Yes,
he made a shot.
Yep.
Then he made a shot.
Yep.
Then he made a shot. You see that at the highest level. I was wondering if that happens defensively. So after the game, I asked De'Aaron, does that happen at the NBA level? Does it happen with a guy like Keon Ellis?
Definitely. Because especially when it's the guy that's pressuring the ball,
whenever he's come off the bench and he's and him and Davion have started pressuring the ball like that, that becomes contagious. That you feel that type of energy when you see a guy, you know, turning someone in the backcourt two or three times, your defense feeds off of that. And he's definitely been great for us. And I think that's a big reason why our defense was the way that it was the last two games.
It's really interesting to me. You've probably noticed this too, Drapes. If you watch De'Aaron when he's talking about Keon and playing with Davion, he gets really animated. You can tell that he's like, oh, I love being on the floor with those guys.
Yeah.
So it makes his job so much easier.
And to his point, man, you could physically see the energy that a guy like Keon brings to this team, you know. And there were several plays yesterday, and I forget what he said. Mike said he had 8 deflections or something like that. He never gives up on a play. And it is contagious, just like 3 balls, you know, 3-point shot becomes contagious. Once somebody gets hot, once you see a couple go in, I think the one thing this team is learning during this stretch, Whitey, is that everybody plays an integral part. Keon is playing his part right now, defensive energy. That helps De'Aaron. But I also believe the bench plays a part too. And the guys on the bench. Keon gets after it, creates a steal. Then my guy Mason Jones is up on the bench. JaVale McGee, you know, like all of this is in lockstep right now. And I think, you know, this is something this team is learning that, you know, even if you aren't making the play, even if you aren't on the floor, you still can impact the game. And right now, man, they seem to be on a tight string with each other. Like they are in lockstep. I'm not hearing any animosity about the coach or anything. Nobody's questioning, are they tuning Mike Brown out or anything? You know, all those little things that people were saying when they were struggling, you don't hear that anymore. And I do think they've turned a corner. And I know it could change Saturday against the Knicks or even more so Monday against Memphis. But you would hope that they are seeing the blueprint on how they need to play and they'll bring it every night.
I thought last night was crucial from the standpoint of you have to build at home on that win over the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you've been so, okay, you got some home games coming up here. You got to start to establish the home court because it's there for you. The sixth seed is there for you. And they did. And it's funny, we talk a lot about numbers, basketball fans, and I know you always give me a hard time. Stop looking at the box score. We talk about this number, that number. Mike Brown has his whole set of numbers that we don't, you know, the coaching staff, they have things like, what is that? You mentioned the deflections. He was raving last night, was Mike Brown, about the 8 deflections in, what was it, 28 minutes? He said, 8 deflections in 48 minutes is astounding.
Yeah.
So he was raving about that number last night.
And that's why I believe Keon is going to be in the rotation, because Mike Brown is a defensive-minded coach, and this is the exact kind of effort and impact that he wants from his guys night in and night out. And, you know, the thing about the Sacramento Kings, and you started on this point just a second ago, and it struck me. We're talking about how big of a game against the Lakers is, how critical of a stretch it is in March with all these games at home. We're looking at the standings. And at times this season, I wondered if, do they feel that? You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about, oh, this is a massive game. You know, you got to win this one, a must win. You can't lose to Detroit. And I wonder, do they think that? And for the first time, it's like, well, yeah. They knew they had to back up Milwaukee with the win against the Lakers last night. And so for the first time, I felt like they were feeling the same way we were. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you beat Milwaukee, now what? You know, back it up. And they did that. And I'm hoping that's the trend going forward. Because when we see Memphis on Monday, we're going to do the show from the arena. And I guarantee one of us will say, you can't lose to Memphis, right? You can't lose to these guys, right? And so that's what I'm hoping the players feel on the inside as well.
To that point, and I agree with you, they just seem much more focused as a group. It's impressive. Jay, you're a Sacramento guy, born here. Don't you think in some ways sweeping the Lakers in some ways probably means more to some longtime Kings fans than it does to some of the guys on the team?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I think it's something, and this is, Drapes, you can kind of speak to this on the opposite side of the fences. And Henry Turner is a stickler for this. You know, I said all the foundation is saying, like, he keeps – Henry, the high flyer, always says the rivalry means more to the Sacramento community than in Los Angeles, the community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'll say this. I think for the teams, it means the amount, because we're not talking about it means the same amount, because we're not talking about Kobe, Shaq, Robert Horry. Like, those guys are gone. You can't tell me LeBron and them and AD, especially getting owned the way he has from Domas, doesn't mean as much to him as well. Right. Like, we heard this even after the game they beat, Minnesota on Friday. He said, like, look, we're looking forward to Sacramento. We need this victory. Yeah. We know we need to get this win. So it's interesting because the dynamic of Sacramento, like, we still talk about the Lakers. The Lakers of 2000, 2001, 2002, but I think to the teams it means as much, you know, equally as it, especially now they're fighting for, you know,
so
playoff
position. So you think LeBron? I'm just asking. You think Sacramento registers on LeBron's radar, Jay?
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
Last year, what did we hear from the Warriors and the Lakers media? Who are we pinpointing to play in the playoffs?
Right.
We kept hearing it the last 2 months was what? Everybody is pinpointing to play the Sacramento Kings.
Yep.
So if that's the case, you can't tell me they don't have a plan revolved around trying to play the Sacramento Kings. And you can't tell me at this point, because as much as, you know, we're configured to listen what's going on in Sacramento and, you know, the media here, we also talk about the national pundits who don't give us love. But if you really go down and listen to some of the people that's based in Los Angeles or 570, you know, the Rodney Peets, those type of guys, the George Sedanos, one of the reasons why I got him on the show, because he's on ESPN 710 down there. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the Kings today. Mm-hmm. They're talking about they don't want to play the Kings. Like, yeah, we made the mistake last year of we want to play the Kings. Well, not this year. Right. We want to play, you know, Oklahoma City. You know, yeah. And so I think it just means more in Sacramento for the community, the people, you know, that are above 25, 30, I would say, Whitey. Mm-hmm. Probably about 25, 28 years old. Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. Did a former Kings head coach just take a swipe at Heat culture? We'll give you a listen to that when we come back here. Drive Guys, Sac Towns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Sports. The beam shone brightly last night after the win over the Lakers. Drive Guys here. Glad you're with us. Question for you, Drapes. Dear listener, Jay, this is from X, and a guy who used to work here and is a really keen basketball observer. We've had him on the show, John Dickinson. He tweeted this earlier this hour. Just want to know what you think of this tweet. And again, this is from a guy that right now he covers the Warriors, but he was at the game, the Bucks game, and he's covered the Kings his whole life. He says, quote, those who don't watch Sacramento nightly or only watch their playoff series versus Warriors when Sabonis struggled think De'Aaron Fox is the Kings' best player, and he was in the playoff series. JD says, but Sabonis has easily been their best player overall in each of the last two seasons. What do you think of that?
I thought De'Aaron was their best player last year. I thought... You know, and don't just look at the stats. When it was winning time, De'Aaron Fox, even Domas will tell you, it's De'Aaron Fox's team. He was the best player. This year, though, I think Domas has played the best out of anybody. Yeah, he's been way more consistent than anybody. He delivers night in and night out. And we said it yesterday. I didn't know that he could take a step farther in his game. Like, he's gone up another rung on the ladder in his game. And so I would say this year, it's been Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm. Fox last year, I think, again, you're hot today. You hit the nail on the head, in my opinion. You know, last year, Domas would dominate for, what, three quarters?
Yeah.
Couldn't stop him. And then fourth quarter's like, all right, here you go, De'Aaron. Yeah. And he even said that, right? He said, fourth quarter, I just get out of the way. And
right.
let De'Aaron yes. do his thing.
Yes, he said exactly that. And the thing about De'Aaron, it didn't matter who the matchup was last year. Like, he dominated. And not saying that the matchup dictates whether he plays well or not, but some nights he got it, some nights he doesn't, you know? And I feel like this year, Domas, it's crazy to think he's getting better throughout the season. As this season goes on, he's becoming more and more dominant. He's fifth in the NBA in assists per game. Think about that. A center, and he leads, of course, the NBA in points, rebounds per game at better than 13. Like, he's putting up numbers like only Wilt Chamberlain has done. And I didn't know he can even take it up to that level and be any better.
Mm-hmm. And again, just so hyper efficient last night with how many shots did he take last night? I got so many box scores.
I know. See, king of the box score. That's why I don't look at the box score.
Last night he only took 10 shots.
10 shots. Unbelievable. And dominated the game on 10 shots. He is just, and the thing is, and Katie had the stat last night during the broadcast. The Kings have played 65 games. Domas has had a double-double in 61 of those 65. Like, he's the fastest person since the great, and we mentioned him, Moses Malone yesterday, to get the 60 double-doubles in a season since Moses. Moses had 60 in 63 games. Domas had 60 in 64. And so he's just wildly consistent and at an elite level. It's just unbelievable.
I really loved last night the shot distribution, too. We talk about this sometimes. Barnes, 15. Murray, 13. Domas, 10 shots. Mm-hmm. Keon, 8 shots, which for him is a lot. De'Aaron Fox, 20. Monk, 10. And then, yeah, Davion had 6. It's like, it's hard to guard a team when you got so many guys that are chipping in.
Yeah, so many guys. And this is the Kings blueprint, right? It's like, you know, we know that the top-tier guys, Domas and Fox, are going to be who they are. But this team has multiple guys that can gash you for 15 to 20 points, and we saw it on full display. Like, look at this, and I should have given him some love in Drape's take. Harrison Barnes was the leading scorer last night. I don't hear those Harrison Barnes haters out there. He had 23, hit some big three-pointers out there last night. 7 triples last night for Harrison Barnes.
From what I saw, the numbers, if you look at the numbers, you could quibble. But Harrison Barnes outplayed LeBron last night.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, LeBron was a non-factor for most of that game. He had a good 3-4 minute stretch, but Harrison Barnes, I thought, was more consistent throughout that game. Mm-hmm. And HB, there were several times he's had to guard Anthony Davis out there as well. Like, and he got the defensive player of the game crown yesterday, Harrison Barnes did, because I thought that was an elite two-way game that he played last night.
Mm-hmm. His play was much more impactful.
Yes.
When he scored, those were impactful buckets. Now, I know you were briefly in the media dining area, and we had the TV on in there. I don't know if you caught any of this, but they did have the Nuggets and the Heat on.
Okay.
And the reason I mentioned that is because the Heat, their jersey said, it said Heat Culture. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't see that last night. No.
Yeah.
They
had
that?
Heat
Culture
on the jersey.
Okay.
Which was kind of odd. So the Nuggets go in there and they win. They're back in first place now, 188. After the game, Michael Malone was talking about, what he was talking about is how Jamal Murray and KCP told him to let Reggie Jackson stay on the court longer, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Reggie Jackson pushed through his slump. So Michael Malone was talking about Nuggets culture, and he said, quote, part of culture, because we do have a culture in Denver as well, part of our culture is being selfless, getting over yourself. And I think that's another example of how our team is always getting over the individual and thinking about the collective, end quote.
Mm.
So people thought that's kind of
a little shot.
We have a culture in Denver as well. Maybe he's heard a little too much here about, you know, having played them in the finals, probably getting sick of all this talk of Heat culture.
And I'm with Michael Malone, and I respect what Miami has done, but when's the last time they won a chip? Michael Malone and the Denver Nuggets got a culture. They just smacked them up in the NBA Finals. They just had like it. So I hear you, Michael Malone. He's one ornery guy, though, huh?
I love it. You know, last year they eliminate the Lakers. LeBron says, I might retire. Michael Malone says, who cares about him? We just won.
Right.
I love that.
He is emboldened. He's been empowered now with the success of his team, and you can't say nothing back to him. They're the reigning champs. They just beat Miami again last night. And this whole Heat culture thing, it's real. It's a thing. I get it. But I can see how Michael Malone could be upset about that and tired of hearing it. He's like, yeah, Heat culture, but didn't we just wax them in the NBA Finals?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
What kind of culture do the Kings have right now?
I don't know. I think it's still to be defined. Because when you think of Kings basketball, what is it? What is it, and what would they like it to become? I think those are two different things. I think, you know, when you look at Kings basketball, it's up pace, you know, balls flying around. But that's one side. When you walk in and you know you're playing the Sacramento Kings, and we talked about this last week, opposing teams feel like, oh, it'll be an easy night. They won't be physical with you. And so the culture, what it is different than what they want it to be, if that makes sense. Like, I still think it's evolving, and they're trying to move it to what they want it to be.
I think culture is something you have to, you know, plant and cultivate. So if you look at it as a plant, here's the way I look at it. Miami Heat culture, it's a full-grown, some kind of bush, you know, and maybe it's getting, you know, some of it's getting a little straggly because it's been around a while. The Warrior culture now, it's like, ooh, somebody needs to water that.
Yeah, or it's drying out,
it's
right?
Been, you know, yeah. Drought stricken or something like that. And I think Kings culture to me right now, it's just a little sprout still coming up out of the ground. But
right.
That's impressive because for years, there was nothing there.
It was
just
nothing.
Sand and heat. There was nothing growing there at all.
Let me ask you guys this, because I haven't been around, obviously. It's only my fourth season. Did the Kings have, and I know they didn't have continuity with the coach. I know they didn't have continuity in the front office. I always looked at the Sacramento Kings as a collection of talent, a collection of guys, but not necessarily a team because so many guys were in and out. I mean, you do a 6 degrees of separation of the Sacramento Kings. It's more like two. I feel like everybody at one point in their career has come through Sacramento, you know? And so did it feel like at the time, or did you feel like you had a core for 5-6 years?
Which years are we talking about exactly?
Just in the drought years, the 16 years that you missed the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I would say over the last 10 years, like the 2010s to 2020s.
You got an answer for Kyle, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I'm sure Jay does. And I got an answer, too. We'll come back with that. Also, let's see here. 10-0 versus AD. Domas says, please stop talking about that. Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.